Greetings in Christ Jesus and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. I am your host, Pastor Joe Naum, and I'm joined today by Pastor Neil Radical and by our summer vicar, Vicar Drew Nauman. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Great.
Doing well, thanks.
So today is our last week, I guess, with Vicar Nauman. He'll be preaching this weekend and heading back to Eau Claire to conclude his studies at the seminary there at Emmanuel Lutheran High School, College, and Seminary in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So before he leaves, we're going to allow him to lead us in his final devotion before he heads back to school.
It's my pleasure. Our devotion for this morning comes to us from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. So, as I look through this, and you look around the world that we're living in right now, and you can't go too long without someone talking about the end times, right? Things seem kind of apocalyptic between the pandemics, and between the wars and the famines and the poverty. There's so many things that are going wrong today, and everyone kind of looks at that end of the world that it is approaching. We don't know how close it is. Only God knows. But we do know that every day that passes brings us one day closer to that last day. And it's interesting because a lot of the world seems to be kind of dreading that last day, that this is something that, well, it's all over. We had our one time around this big green globe, and now everything's shutting down. But it's not really that way for Christians, is it? As we look at Revelation, we get to see a little bit of a sneak peek as to what Christians have to look forward to in regards to the end times and with the last days. And while we're here, God certainly blesses us, but what awaits us is much more blessed. And I'd like to ask you guys this morning, because it kind of struck me the sounds of the waters and the mighty thunderings that say, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Is this idea that Jesus, that God is going to reign at the end times, does that take anything away from what he's doing for us today, Joe?
Well, you know, it's interesting, as you mentioned, that it struck me that how desensitized we are in 2020 to the concept of the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunderings. You know, you can go at home and watch a movie and turn the volume all the way up to 100 and, you know, be desensitized really to the excitement and the energy and this loud noise, because it's all around us. Think of John now, the apostle here in the first century AD. You know, he'd never seen a movie before. He's never been in a movie theater where this loud noise is pummeling him. And so suddenly to see this loud voice, and really this loud noise, this sound of many thunderings, is a greater noise than any movie theater or sound bar could possibly produce here either. It's a description of the believers speaking to God and to his glory and to what he's done for us. And certainly he deserves all glory and honor and praise and might for what he has done for us. And this is kind of getting now to your question, Drew, of his reigning. He reigns for us even now. You know, I'm always reminded of when Jesus says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. You know, he's talking about how our eternal life, even now on this earth, has already begun. Jesus is in heaven reigning and ruling for us, working and moving all things together for our not only temporal but also eternal good. And this is what this song is really all about. The Lord is the Lord on Lord God omnipotent reigns. He reigns in heaven for us now, and he will be reigning in heaven for us for all eternity.
That's very well said, Joe. Neil, I'd like to ask you with the last portion of that, the second verse, it says, let us rejoice and be glad, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Scripture in many places kind of compares that relationship between Christ and his church to a husband and his wife. Could you go into that a little bit, and kind of as the end times do approach. Again, we don't know how soon that's going to be, but as we read Revelations and we look forward to that last day, what comfort can we take from that relationship, that picture that God gives us of Christ being married to his church and loving her as he does?
I think the Holy Spirit commentates for us pretty well when it comes to the marriage of the Lamb. If you look at that in Ephesians 5, for example, or you see it in other parts of Revelation 2, which who this Lamb is, of course, is Christ. And so I really appreciate what you were talking about the terror that the world has today of the things happening in the world, and then like what Pastor Naum mentioned with the desensitization of the sounds. I think there's an interesting contrast there in how, you know, the joy that we have in this, you know, a lamb isn't scary. A marriage isn't scary. And ultimately we can see how the Lord continues to point us to this contrast of the power of his voice compared to the still small voice that we see in that Lamb of God who speaks to us still today through his word that removes all that terror, fright, worry, any of that fear that we would have. It's all condensed in that gospel message of what he has promised to do for us. He's going to come. He's going to take us home. We're going to reign with him forever. We're going to celebrate with him forever that we are now at home with our Lord and Savior and our Almighty God.
Yeah, that's I couldn't agree more. It's interesting that you said that, you know, marriage isn't scary, and I've never been married before, but I've heard that people have gotten
a wedding isn't scary.
Right. Well, I was gonna say even weddings, like that's some of the most you could say in a certain way anxious, because you're looking at uniting with someone for the rest of your life. But that's like an excited anticipation as opposed to a fearful, like terrifying thing. And that's something that we could probably relate to too as Christians. As we look towards the last day, it's something that, you know, we haven't really experienced yet, like someone who has not experienced marriage yet. But it's something we look forward to with excited anticipation, knowing that there are numerous inexpressible blessings that the Lord has prepared for us in eternity that we will get to celebrate and enjoy because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and how he has clothed us in his righteousness and made us children of God so that we now, as the church, are Christ's bride, and he has given himself for us. So thank you very much both for your input there. Why don't we go ahead and pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings you give us in this life. We especially thank you for the blessings that you have prepared for us in eternity. We cannot begin to imagine the inexpressible joy and the bliss that awaits us, but you have promised to preserve us through this life and to bring us to be with you in eternity. We ask that as we look around and see the despair that afflicts the world today, that we might not be troubled, but that we might be comforted, knowing that you have given us your only Son and will not withhold any other blessings from us, which are necessary for our eternal good. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, and we ask that you continue to be with us and to strengthen us during these dark times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Vicar. Well said. As we continue into our announcement portion of our program today, a couple things we want to highlight for you. Once again, this evening we'll be having our Wednesday evening Bible study. Pastor Radical's been leading us in a study of the book of James. I think we got a couple more weeks certainly left of that before we move to our next study, but hope you can join us for that. Watch for the link online. It's the same link as it has been the last few weeks. Also coming up next week is our next voters meeting that has been called for September 21st. This is going to deal with a couple of the ongoing issues here at the church and school, namely the gym floor situation, which once again was damaged during that flood at the end of July. Needs to be replaced. So there will be a recommendation coming from the Board of Property as to what to do about that, and we'll also have a proposal regarding how to fund the replacement of the gym floor as well. The other issue that has come up is the need for more custodian hours for our church and specifically the school, given how much cleaning is needed due to the current COVID situation and all the sanitizing needs to take place. More hours will be needed for that, so this will all be on the table for discussion. That'll be Monday, September 21st at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held in person in the church basement, but it will also be held on Zoom, so you can do either one of those options. and hope all voters can note that and participate that in that as well. This coming weekend, I mentioned before, it's Vicar Drew Nauman's last weekend serving us and preaching. He'll also be leading our Bible class, which will happen right before service on Sunday morning and right after service on Saturday evening. This Bible class is going to take a look at the Lutheran liturgy and why we do what we do. Any comments on that, Drew, to lead us into that?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, or last week, that I should say, that there's been a lot of discussion over the last even several decades as to if we are worshiping the correct way, the way that is there a good reason that we continue to worship the way that we do? And a lot of people feel very strongly that we are worshiping the correct way and that other ways are not helpful. And there are a lot of people who feel the opposite way, that the way that we're doing it is making the church a unappealing experience for any possible visitors. And we're kind of trying to inform everyone, including ourselves, with this study in the liturgy, why we're doing what we're currently doing, not to advocate one side or the other, but rather so that we can go forward from an informed position and more fully understand the reason behind, you know, the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Gloria Patri, the glory be to the Father, and the Trinitarian aspect there. So there's a reason to everything that we do in church, but not all of it is known or is very clear at first glance. So we're kind of going to try and delve into that a little bit more and hope to understand that. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that as we look to get started.
Yeah, so our plan for that is to broadcast that on Sunday morning as well, to make that part of our live stream, so you can go to our YouTube channel and check that out as well. If you're not currently attending in person, you can hopefully join us for that. And I think it's going to be a really important study as to the fact that there is reason behind what we're doing. You know, a lot of times it can just feel like we just do the same thing we always do because it's the way we've always done it. But there is reason and thought that goes into everything that we do and the practices that we have as far as our liturgy as well. So Drew's going to introduce that for us this weekend, and then we'll continue on with that study for a couple of weeks after that. Last thing I want to highlight today is our prayer list. Once again, we're continuing to pray for Sheila Burgess and her recovery as she recovers from that neck surgery she had. She is still at home and seems to be recovering well. Also want to continue to thank everyone for the prayers offered for my mother, Desiree Nauman. She begins her chemo treatment next Monday, or radiation and chemo treatment next Monday for that brain tumor that she developed and had removed, and now they're trying to get rid of the rest of the cancer cells up in her brain. Please continue to keep her in your prayers going forward as well. This leads us to our doctrine of the day, which we kind of decided after last week we did the omniscience of God. We thought maybe we'd keep it going a little bit, and we'll cover the other omnis too. So today we're going to cover omnipotence, and next week we will cover omnipresence of God as well. So this ties in a little bit to our devotion that we had today, which it said, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So when you hear that word omnipotent, what comes to your mind?
You guys know if the other, I don't think the other words, omniscience and omnipresence, are actually used in the Bible. So it's kind of neat that this one's actually recorded in that sense. And I think, you know, I always think of something that's potent, like a smell or a powerful medication. And so we think about the omnipotent is that Latin all-powerful. I just think that there's absolutely nothing that God can't do. Everything is actually really simple for him. If he wanted to bring healing to someone, you know, we see Jesus' miraculous hand in doing that. And that's, I think, really comforting, because if God wanted something done, he would absolutely do it. And so if he doesn't do that, then I like to ask, well, what are his reasons for not doing that? There's got to be some growth he's planning for multiple people. And I think that omnipotence is really powerful in the sense of what Jesus has done for us with the cross and the power that he did to conquer death itself for us and to forgive every single sin. I really see how those are connected with the omnis, and how he knows all things and forgives all things with his power. So those are some of the thoughts that come to my mind, just the all-powerful nature, the Lord Almighty, the Lord all God reigns is there's so many different descriptions of just how there's no one else as powerful. So those are some of the thoughts that I have.
Yeah, I really appreciate you talking about the medication aspect, because that's kind of how I think of it too, is if you have a condition that needs medication, you want to make sure that your medication is potent enough, that is strong enough to deal with that condition and to solve the problem. And that's, you can kind of look at it the same way with God's power, comparing and contrasting. Is God's power strong enough for fill in the blanks? So if you're looking at looking at the life of Christ, is God powerful enough to come down from heaven and to be born of a virgin as true God and true man? Yes, his power is sufficient for that. Is it sufficient that he should live a perfect life and be completely obedient to God's law? Yes, he's powerful enough to do that. Is he powerful enough that he should go to the cross and become sin for us and suffer hell in our place? Yes, it's powerful enough to do that, and that he should rise again and that he should ascend into heaven. He's powerful enough to do all of these things. His omnipotence is enough to, it's strong enough to cause all these things to happen. So then, because of Christ's work, which was accomplished because God was able to do that, he was strong enough to do it, you can now take that omnipotence and apply it to the forgiveness of our sins. No matter how great our sins are, you can say, well, is Jesus' blood powerful enough to atone for this sin? It's like, yes, no matter what that sin is, no matter how great it is, no matter how numerous, how often we keep going back to it, we can be confident that when we come before the throne of grace for forgiveness, God's forgiveness, his omnipotence, is powerful enough to cover even that sin that the sinful flesh wants to convince you that, you know, it's not good enough, that Christ didn't pay for that. We know that he did, because he paid for all sins. He has all power.
I'm going to push back on you a little bit here, Drew, because I think there's a sharp distinction we need to make. And I think you made the point really well in your sermon this past weekend, as you spoke about the miracle that Peter performed on that crippled man. You know, omnipotence, Jesus was omnipotent before he came into this world and before he died on the cross and before he rose again. And if he was omnipotent, then why couldn't he just forgive all people all sins? If he's all powerful, why didn't he just do that?
That is a great question. And the idea, we know this idea from Scripture, that God is a just God. It's who he is. God is God and he is unchanging. That we, as mankind, transgressed against his law, there had to be payment and there had to be atonement for that. You could ask, well, why didn't God just, you know, wink and a nod, turn the other way? That's not who God is. That's not what God is. We know that God is perfect and that he is just, and that atonement had to be made. And so he didn't ignore it. He didn't make excuses for us. Instead, in his love, he decided that what needed to be done was Jesus being born in the flesh and coming and doing all of these things and dying that death that we deserve, so that we can and are still children of God by his grace. So even through all that, we see this omnipotence tandem with his unchanging nature, that God doesn't just change to make things easier. He is all-powerful. Even that transgression against him that would merit us hell and eternal condemnation, he is powerful enough to solve it, and he has. So hopefully that's satisfactory.
Yeah, no, I like the way you explain that. And I always think it's important to make a distinction between God's power and God's love. You know, the omnipotence of God is a part of the natural knowledge of God that he reveals to us. Romans 1 makes that clear, that God's eternal power and Godhead is made known to us through the creation, that we can look out at the universe, we can look at our conscience and our heart and recognize that there is an all-powerful being out there, and that omnipotence is known to us through that. But God's grace and his love is only revealed to us through his son, Jesus Christ. So, certainly his omnipotence is real. All his blood is what gives him the power to forgive sins that he shed on the cross. But those two things are a little bit distinct from each other, because, you know, in coming to this world, Jesus humbled himself, right? He came not riding on a mighty steed. He came riding on a donkey. He didn't come born as a king of some country. He came and was laid in a manger humbly. Jesus went through a humiliation on this earth, and he allowed himself, as a sheep before its shears was silent, so he opened out his mouth, he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross in his humility and his humbleness and his lowering of himself. That's, you know, part of the example that he set for us is to submit ourselves to God and to his will, because God has, as we've been talking about, all power, all knowledge, and he works what's best for us. So, you know, it's such an amazing contrast between his omnipotence on the one hand, his all power, and yet his the beauty of his submission and his humility on the other hand. And it's that willingness to submit that resulted in our salvation, because he went to the cross and died for us. And so, you know, that's the beauty and the example that Christ sets for us is to give in to the will of God. We pray, thy will be done. And we know that his will is good and gracious for us, and his will is done for us. And that's knowing that God is omnipotent, that means we can trust all things. Any other thoughts on that, Drew?
Yeah, not to get too far down the rabbit hole here, but your comments brought to mind Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, being true God and true man, had set aside his omniscience, and he asked God in God's infinite wisdom and omnipotence, he said, if this cup should pass from me, that would be a good thing for me. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's an important thing, basically, to emphasize what you said, that we trust God's omnipotence, but we also trust his omniscience, which we've talked about before, that he knows what we need, and he knows what is best. And just as Jesus trusted in his Father's perfect will, which resulted in our salvation, we should trust him in all things to use that omnipotence for our eternal good.
And this ties in well with our devotion that we started with today, because, you know, this is the... it said, let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Christ paid that price for his bride, for you and I. He went to the cross, he shed his blood for us, and because he paid that price, because he shed his blood, now we are able to enter that marriage feast of the Lamb. We're able to be the bride of Christ. And so it's not because of God's omnipotence, it's not because he's all-powerful that we get to go to heaven. It's because of the love of Jesus and the submission and the humility that he endured and suffered for us, that we are now ready to enter heaven itself. Thank you, Drew. Drew picked out a hymn for us today that deals with the omnipotence of Christ, and he'll conclude our podcast by reading that today.
Sure. So we're going to read a couple of verses from the Lutheran hymnal, hymn 339, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye seed of Israel's chosen race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Twin Steeples Podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. We pray that you would have a blessed week. And always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.